Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
U.S. Marshals launched a massive manhunt for 41-year-old Stephen Broderick. He's a former Travis County Sheriff's Detective wanted for killing at least three people near an apartment complex in Northwest Austin. China and the United States, the world's two biggest carbon polluters, have agreed to cooperate with other countries to fight climate change. GOP Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia announced on Sunday she plans to introduce a resolution to expel Democrat Representative Maxine Waters of California from Congress for her continual incitement of violence. When asked about Chauvin's trial, Waters told reporters that if Chauvin is not found guilty, quote, we've got to stay on the street, we've got to get more active, we've got to get more confrontational, end quote. Shortly thereafter, two National Guardsmen were injured early Sunday morning when a gunman fired at them and Minneapolis police in a drive-by shooting. USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Boy, they did a beautiful wedding.
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Now, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
The pause on Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine could be lifted this week. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine could be lifted at a meeting of CDC advisors this week. Dr. Anthony Fauci was asked on ABC's This Week if the vaccine will be suspended.
I really don't think so, Martha. I believe we'll get back with it, and it might be some restrictions. Not sure what that will be, whether there'll be age or sex, or whether they'll just come back with a warning of some sort. I don't want to get ahead of them, but I believe that we'll be back with some sort of indication a little bit different than we were before.
Last week, the CDC and FDA recommended a pause due to six cases of blood clots in the nearly 7 million who were vaccinated.
The J&J vaccine was created under Operation Warp Speed. Russia on Friday asked 10 U.S. diplomats to leave the country in retaliation for Washington's expulsion of the same number of Russian diplomats over alleged malign activity. USA Radio News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission has issued a warning concerning a popular treadmill. John Clements from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The warning was issued to owners of the Peloton Tread Plus that has a price tag of $4,300 after 39 incidents, one of which resulted in death. Joseph Mardiak is with the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Any consumer using the Peloton Tread Plus who has or could have a pet, a child, or an object around this device, this warning is for you. You should not be using this treadmill because it has the capability in almost 40 cases of sucking the child or the object or the pet underneath, and we've had serious injuries, entrapment. They've been pinned, they've had abrasions, they've had multiple fractures, and of course, sadly, a fatality.
Users have the option to use the Peloton bike without a subscription. With the Peloton bike subscription, you'll have access to both on-demand and live classes. Carrie Underwood brought the house down at the Academy of Country Music Awards Sunday. Maren Morris won two honors, including Song of the Year. Miranda Lambert performed three times and continues to be the most decorated winner in ACM history. Mickey Guyton, the first black woman to host the award show, gave a strong vocal performance. Luke Bryan was named Entertainer of the Year at the Grand Ole Opry broadcast. And finally, Morgan Wallen, whose latest album and singles have found major success on both the country and pop charts, was declared ineligible by the ACM after he was caught on camera
Sarah using a racial slur earlier this year. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you got the address, right? BillMartinezShow.com. Real treat for you. Ken Starr is with us. We're going to be talking about his brand new book, Religious Liberty in Crisis, Exercising Your Faith in an Age of Uncertainty. Ken Starr has had what all of us would know as a distinguished career in academia, the law, and public service, currently of counsel to the Lanier Law Firm. Ken served as president and chancellor of Baylor University. This is why he's so proud, because the Baylor Bears men's national basketball champions. So, we'll make sure we mention that and highlight it, because you know, the Starr family is still bouncing around the house with pom-poms and everything. Just
bouncing bears. Bouncing.
Hey, yes, exactly. What a great run for the Baylor Bears. I know you're proud of them and these young men. I mean, what dedication and teamwork they exemplified.
Yes, and they've got a great leader and coach, Scott Drew, who coaches those young men beyond the game. He cares about them as human beings. He cares about their families. So thank you for those kind words. Go Bears.
Yes, exactly. Well, we had to get that in there. I mean, after all, national champions and all. Ken, I got to tell you, I cannot thank you enough for the book, Religious Liberty in Crisis. Being a man of faith myself as well, you really encouraged me in this book, because we've been saying on the show for quite a while that, you know, religious liberty has been in the crosshairs of the left. There is a war on religious liberty, and people of faith have kind of been rather casual about it, as evidenced by their response during this COVID time. And you mentioned this, you mentioned these, you know, the aspects of what we're dealing with culturally in the book, and COVID-19 is just one of several that you mentioned.
Yes, and you know what? David of biblical fame had a slingshot. We have the Constitution, and it's a pretty powerful slingshot to defend ourselves, but especially to defend religious liberty. And Bill, you and I both know this is our first freedom. The very first 16 words of the First Amendment go to protecting religious freedom, and it is under assault. It's certainly in crisis in state after state, and so we need to equip ourselves. And so the good news that I hope to bring in this book to lay readers, I don't want this to be a law book. I want it to be a book for citizens who care about America's culture of freedom, including religious liberty, and for it to be a source not just of comfort, but a tool that they can use in the battle for the hearts and minds, including, frankly, of our children and our grandchildren.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I think it's quite interesting that the left, the Marxist left, has gone after this foundational element of our Constitution. Without our faith, without religious liberty, the Constitution implodes, doesn't it, Ken?
Absolutely. John Adams put it so well when he said our Constitution is for a religious people. And if we don't have this foundation of faith, and we're certainly moving in that direction, then the Constitution stops working. Now, why is that? You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does, because without this biblical faith foundation, then it becomes a matter of power. Who has power? And aren't we seeing that? Aren't we seeing in governors' mansions? Aren't we seeing that, frankly, in Washington, D.C.? We have the power, therefore we're going to work our will. As opposed to, wait a second, what happened to the spirit of reason, discourse, the prophet Isaiah, come let us reason together? No, get out of the way. We're in charge here. And so exactly. What do we do when the bulldozers start coming in? Well, we have something that's mightier than the sword, and that is the Constitution and the faith foundation on which it's based.
Well, exactly, because we know that our liberties do not come from the government. They come from God themselves. I mean, our founding fathers made it clear that God was our source for our liberties. I mean, this is the very thing that draws people from nations around the world, you know, to this country, is because of liberty. In this particular case, we're talking religious liberty, but that is tied into you know, the whole idea of freedom, because without religion, without God's hand, and as George Washington say, the hand of providence himself, we don't have liberty.
Yes, and we don't have the foundation for saying, you know, your view counts. Why do we have freedom of speech as well as freedom of faith? It's because we respect one another, as opposed to I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm going to cancel you out. But thank you for lifting up the vision of the founding. This is the Declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We don't have to prove them. We don't have to demonstrate them.
Right.
We don't even need to debate them. If you want to debate them, we can. You have the right to do that. But what are these? These we are endowed by our Creator. Those are the words of the Declaration. And it's why William O. Douglas, who was very much a person of the progressive left, as a justice could say so many years ago, but his words ring true today. And these are the words of William O. Douglas speaking for the Supreme Court. We are a religious people whose institutions presuppose a supreme being. And I think people can say amen to that. So
yes,
as we
amen.
Move toward this age of secularism, and especially hostile secularism to religious faith, then we need to equip ourselves so we can be effective and winsome advocates without ever having set foot in a law school.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is, what people need to have their eyes open to see is that the attack on religious liberty is so obvious. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. We've seen this playbook before, and what they're trying to do, I mean, it's like the Book of Romans again. We're reminded there's this great exchange that's coming into play here. It's our God for their God, our big G God for their small G God, and every time this has happened historically, it has meant devastation to the people.
Such a powerful biblical message, isn't it? I'm now rereading the book of Jeremiah. We're warning. Please, stop doing what you're doing. The God's in high places. And so it was C.S. Lewis who said, man's natural state seems to be paganism. You know, we're wired to believe. And so I think what's happening in the cultural debate that's underway now is, we have social media, we have entertainment, we have sports, etc. We don't need this, you know, God is dead, Nietzsche, God is dead,
right.
Or God is irrelevant. And so we need to be able, with that kind of hostility, is expressed to religion, and then to, here is what I think is so foundational to who we are as a free people, freedom of conscience and respecting conscientious objectors. And maybe we can talk about a case or two that involves exactly that. Conscientious objectors who've been protected in this country, even during the revolution, every single state protected the individual conscience, the conscientious objectors who could not take up arms against the British. They respect
exactly.
that.
We're right.
moving away well, from that right now.
Yeah, let's get into detail on the other side of the break. We got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Ken Starr and his new book after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 30 languages worldwide. The Tide Ministry is excited to be sharing the gospel with listeners in Pakistan. We began working in Pakistan just over a year ago, and God has used us to support local ministry partners through the COVID-19 pandemic. Unfortunately, many of our listeners are still struggling because of the virus. Some find it difficult to find food and medicine to sustain their families. Through indigenous missionaries and pastors, the Tide Ministry gives hope to those who are suffering. Working with local pastors in Pakistan, we record gospel messages in 2 Pakistani languages, which we're broadcasting across the country. We are thankful that the airwaves have allowed us to share the love and hope of Jesus Christ across borders and through lockdowns. To learn more about how the Tide Ministry is encouraging believers and sharing the love of Christ with the lost in Pakistan and other regions across the world, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
Fresh and independent we are, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. Also great to be talking with Ken Starr. We're talking about his new book, Religious Liberty in Crisis, Exercising Your Faith in an Age of Uncertainty. Ken, before we went to break, you brought up the idea of conscientious objection And there's liberty in that, right?
Absolutely. The very idea of human dignity means I can't go along with that. And so government should not be coercing individuals in matters of conscience, except for the most paramount, compelling kinds of reasons. In our country, Bill, you and I so share this so deeply. Liberty is the baseline. Freedom is the baseline. And so if an individual, and let's just use the case of Jack Phillips, the now famous cake maker, designer in Denver and Lakewood, Colorado, he couldn't in conscience, even though he will serve everyone, regardless of their race, national origin, their gender identity, their sexual orientation, he'll serve anyone and everyone. But there's certain things he can't do. He won't celebrate a divorce. I want a cake, a design cake, not just a cake. You know, he'll sell you a cake in the shop, but I want you to design a specialty cake to celebrate my divorce. No, I can't do that. To celebrate Halloween. No, I can't do that. I can celebrate All Saints Day, but not Halloween. I view that as demonic. Now, not everybody's going to agree with that, right? And other Christian bakers will say, oh, okay, I don't mind doing it. If you want to celebrate it, I'm going to do it. But what about the person who's an act of conscience? And this is what he could not do. He could not celebrate a same-sex marriage. And the Colorado Civil Rights Commission then said, then you are a very naughty guy. This is a mischievous mask for discrimination and hatred and bigotry. Oh, just a terrible thing said about Jack Phillips. Guess what? The Supreme Court said, Colorado Civil Rights Commission, 7-2, you are evincing hostility to religion. You cannot do that as government officials.
That's huge. That's huge with that kind of return, massive. 7-2. It's not even close.
Massive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Big victory for people of faith and for Jack as well. And certainly we followed and reported on that story. Give us another story of conscientious objection.
Yes, they're underway as we see in so many news reports. But another happy ending with the owners of Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby, 600-plus stores around the country. Wonderful stores. These are people of faith who could not, in conscience, provide the full panoply of contraceptive services required by the Obama administration. The Obama administration, as part of its regulation, said you've got to provide these 21 separate kinds of services, methods of contraception, and so forth. The Green family, deeply faithful evangelical Christians, said, Caesar, we can do 17 of these, but we can't do 4 because we view those with science supporting them as abortifacients, right? This comes after conception, and to us, life begins. Human life begins at conception. And the government said, I'm so sorry, you just have to bow down to Caesar. And the Supreme Court of the United States, more divided court, but nonetheless still upheld the Hobby Lobby Green family's view that we cannot do that as a matter of conscience, in a mighty opinion by Justice Samuel Alito, who, by the way, is one of the unsung heroes of the Supreme Court. In case after case, Justice Sam Alito is such a powerful and eloquent voice for religious liberty. And there are times when the entire court agrees with the proposition of religious liberty, especially when it comes to issues of autonomy, including, and this is so important for people, of Christian schools and keeping the government out of regulating religious schools in the terms of schools deciding who will teach. And we're going to, I'm sorry, we're going to make a decision that may even go against the civil rights laws of the United States, but we have that right to do it. And the court upheld that 9-0.
Yeah, the right of autonomy, right?
Exactly. The right of autonomy is so important to religious life, to faith communities.
Well, Ken Starr, religious liberty in crisis, you mentioned render to Caesar in referencing Jesus in the book. You said Jesus said very clearly, you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, to God the things that are God. And it is imperative upon people of faith to know the difference, right?
Absolutely. And what the book strives strives to do, and I hope with some success, is to identify six great principles of religious liberty that every citizen, even high schoolers, I think even middle school kids, but certainly high school kids and beyond, can steep themselves through homeschooling or whatever, Sunday school classes, can avail themselves of this tool and to say, we want to become not just better informed, we all want to be well informed, but we want to be effective soldiers of freedom, peace-loving, winsome soldiers. And these six great principles, such as autonomy, such as freedom of conscience, such as freedom from coercion, these great principles, which aren't just some philosophical framework of thinking about life, these are principles that are in our Constitution.
And this is why it's so important that every American knows their rights, because we know the educational systems have been overtaken by the Marxists. They've been indoctrinating our kids. I mean, it is amazing around the households of America, Ken, when the kids come home on college break around Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they're sitting around the dinner table, and the conversations, and the parents are in shock. They're going, what happened to my child in a very short number of months? And I send them to this expensive college for them to come back and be fully indoctrinated in a short period of time.
It's very dispiriting, and so we have to do homeschooling, so to speak, in the informal sense of let's talk around the table, but we want to be informed so that we have the arguments to rebut the terrible kinds of things, including, frankly, that this country is a bad country. If this country is such a bad country, why are people knocking at the door, climbing over walls and so forth to get in? And if socialism is so great, why aren't people moving to Venezuela? They are moving out of Venezuela. And they would be happy if they could, if those who are there would be happy if they could get out. Cuba, how many people are leaving Miami to migrate to Cuba? And how many?
Yeah. So the boats are always going north, aren't they? They're not going south.
And they're going to freedom. You know, the Statue of Liberty, isn't that just perfect? You know, it started out as a gift just to symbolize friendship between the people of France and the people of the United States. But here it is. It's now this powerful symbol. And I think, to be honest, Governor Cuomo needs to sail out and look up at the Statue of Liberty a bit more, and so does Mayor de Blasio. But that's the point. People are coming to the United States because we are the sweet land of liberty, and shame on those in the educational world who would, shall I just say, dump on America. Of course, every country is imperfect. We understand that. The human race has fallen. We have much that we need to be accountable for and so forth. But let's not ignore the fact that our country is founded on freedom. And by the way, I do need to get out these wonderful, powerful words of the Northwest Ordinance of 1787 and then passed again by the First Congress in 1789. Religion, this is in federal law, religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind. So there it is. You know, those three legs of the stool, those three pillars. Mm-hmm. And if people say, oh, well, America was founded on slavery, excuse me, the Northwest Ordinance, which had those words, forbade slavery in the Northwest Territory, which really began with Ohio. We're not talking about Oregon and Washington State. We're talking about Ohio and Indiana and Michigan. We're talking about the heartland of America.
Perfectly said, Ken Starr. Congratulations on the book. It is a true gift, and I appreciate all the effort that went into it. Religious Liberty in Crisis, Exercising Your Faith in an Age of Uncertainty, available now, and will be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Ken, thank you so much. Appreciate it. God bless.
Hey, Bill. Thank you. God bless you.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 2% with a 2.27% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT, 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run, call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT, 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Loan amount 500,000 and greater. 1.45 discount points apply. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The FBI and U.S. Marshals launched a massive manhunt in Austin, Texas on Sunday for 41-year-old Stephen Broderick. He's a former Travis County Sheriff's Detective wanted for killing at least three people near an apartment complex in northwest Austin. China and the United States, the world's two biggest carbon polluters, have agreed to cooperate with other countries to fight climate change. GOP Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia announced on Sunday she plans to introduce a resolution to expel Democrat Representative Maxine Waters of California from Congress for her continual incitement of violence. When asked about Chauvin's trial, Waters told reporters that if Chauvin is not found guilty, quote, we've got to stay on the street, we've got to get more active, we've got to get more confrontational, end quote. Shortly thereafter, two National Guardsmen were injured early Sunday morning when a gunman fired at them and Minneapolis police. In a drive-by shooting. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Bill Martinez for We the People.
Hey, we're back with you. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, a great conversation with Ken Starr. Did you enjoy that? Excellent book, too. Highly recommend that you get your hands on it. It'll open your eyes and give you some inspiration and encouragement. By the way, he did tell me off the air that he also wanted to recommend, you know, local big bookstores. One in particular was Hearts and Minds, which has been closed to in-store shopping due to COVID-19 concerns, but I'm sure you can reach them online. And he said that if you want to purchase this book, that would do him a favor if you went to Hearts and Minds. And there's a lot of bookstores, you know, around the country, you know, just like this, facing the same type of situation that we need to support. And we appreciate that they've been hanging in there, I mean, through this. I mean, you talk about essentials. I don't know how to make that difference. I got Derek Hawley with us from Project 21. Derek is the president of Reaching America. Derek, I want to bring you on here for just a minute. I mean, here we are a year plus after the fact of COVID-19 experience, and this whole idea of what was essential and what's not essential, and I think that, 14, 15 months later, we're realizing that we're all essential, aren't we?
We're all very much essential, man. You know, interesting story. I had an opportunity to work for the Trump administration. I served in a senior executive service role as a director of the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization at the Department of Transportation. I had a staff of 11, and I reported directly to Secretary Chao's office. Mm-hmm. And our job and responsibility was working with small, minority, and women-owned businesses during this COVID, this pandemic, mm-hmm. and helping them to secure contracts and grants. And I cannot tell you how important it was. Now, mind you, there are 9 different agencies under the Department of Transportation, including FAA. So they had mm-hmm. to supply PPE to all the different airports. So you had small businesses right now who were able to fulfill those requirements of the federal government. It was the most rewarding job I've ever had.
Wow.
I mean, that says a lot with your background and all that you've been involved with, Derek. Was it rewarding because you kind of felt like every time you were lifting something, it was for a purpose and you were actually accomplishing something?
It was rewarding because you could see, you know, you saw in the media just how small businesses in particular were struggling during the pandemic. And so here the government had opportunities for these small businesses, and a lot of people don't even know that the government procures contracts and grants to small businesses. And so me, I had the opportunity to sit across the table because I was a small business owner and worked and did government contracting myself. And so for me to be able to sit across the desk from the opposite side and work with these individuals, again, was just very rewarding because so many of them were coming there looking for an opportunity. They were struggling as a small business, and we were able to provide some of them with an opportunity.
You know, Derek, so much about our government gets maligned because it's so massive. And how do you, you know, report on the positive things? And this is an encouragement, what we're hearing from you this morning, because it helps counter the narrative that government is such a behemoth and wasting money, it's so corrupt and all that. But here we've got a crisis on our hands. And, you know, common sense would tell you that if big business brought you to the dance, they'll keep you at the, I mean, big business, I'm talking about small business, medium-sized businesses like what you were working with. If they bring you to the dance, then chances are they're going to keep you at the dance and dancing, aren't they?
That's small.
Can I say it that way?
Yes, you can. And while it sounds like a cliche, small business is the backbone of this country. And we talk about government, you know, prior to me going into the administration, you know, and working for the federal government, I had a my perception of government workers and government was a lot of bureaucracy. And I even had some friends who I knew worked in the federal government, and I knew at times they were slacking. Okay.
Yes.
Going in, I had a staff of 11, and these were the most dedicated individuals I've ever seen. They were passionate about their work and the mission. And it really gave me a different perspective on a lot of government workers and the mission. And I can tell you this, if it wasn't for the career government workers, because every 4 years when administration comes in, they change at the top. Mm-hmm. But it's those workers who are career who keep the government going.
Yes. Well, Derek, you know, I was reading your background. Of course, when I see broadcast management and communications, it particularly sticks out because that's been pretty much my background as well. How does somebody go from broadcast management and communications and, you know, start an organization like Reaching America, being involved with the administration and government like you were, and focusing on, you know, small and medium-sized businesses? How do you get there?
Yeah, I started out in advertising, as you said. I was on the air in Washington, D.C., as well as the national sales manager for Radio One, which is the largest broadcasting company in the country targeting, you know, African Americans. Mm-hmm. So from there, I started an advertising agency in Washington, D.C., and I started doing a lot of government contracts. But it was during that time under the Obama administration, I started seeing how, okay, if you're a small business owner, there is no way in hell that you could be, you know, with the policies that are coming from this administration or from the left. Mm-hmm. So I started getting more involved with policy and advocacy work. Wow. And we had a contract where we did recruitment for the census. Enumerators, individuals go around, knock on the doors.
Right.
So our target was minority and other hard-to-reach ethnic population in 32 states. And the White House boasted how unemployment was down due to the hiring of over 750,000 temporary census workers. That was from us. And so I knew after I was able to recruit and move that many people that I could start doing some work, you know, with advocacy work and getting involved more with policy and politics. And so I founded Reaching America, an organization developed to address complex social issues impacting the African American community. And I tell people we're not based on right or left wing views of what makes sense for a more united America.
Exactly. And exactly.
One of the issues that we work on the most, do the most work on, is energy poverty. And energy poverty exists when low income families or individuals are unable to afford basic heating and electric needs. And right now, this administration is trying to shut down the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, but that's been the performance of the left, and whether it was Barack Obama, and to hear you relate that even during the Obama years, how you got involved with small and medium business things you were doing, I'm surprised that they didn't really embrace you all the more. And it was just, do you kind of feel like, Derek, it was a God thing that in spite of all the headwinds that you were facing in the political process, you know, God had a place for you, you know, to be at, and you were able, you know, to realize this so you could help so many other people?
Oh, yes. What I'm doing right now, you just touched on it. Yes, I absolutely feel like this was God's work. He led me to this. And I'm so passionate about what I'm doing right now because
I can tell.
I just gave testimony on Thursday before the House Energy and Commerce Committee. They've got 9 different bills up on the table right now. And again, each one of these, they hide it under the guise of environmental justice. Now you say to yourself, what's wrong with environmental justice?
Right.
Under environmental justice, like I said, they're trying to eliminate jobs in the oil and gas industry and just really, really damage this industry right now.
It turns out to be environmental oppression, like you said. The the surprise consequences, whether we're talking about climate change on and on, you go back and you're affecting the least of our country, the least in terms of our citizens that do not have the ability to pay these high tax prices. And I imagine you had to fall out of your chair when you saw with the fell of a, with one swooping fell of a pen by Joe Biden, he discontinues the XL pipeline and puts our energy independence into jeopardy.
It's unreal. And see, and that's the thing I talk about too. In 2019, for the first time ever, the United States overtook Saudi Arabia and Russia to become the number one exporter of natural oil and natural gas. We have our energy independence. And why would we want to? And it's so amazing because how can our natural resources be worthy enough for the rest of the world, but we're told here at home that it's not good enough for us right here at home? It just makes no sense.
And well, that's exactly the point. His common sense is kind of it's left the building here, but I think we can bring it back. We got more from Derek after this. Stay with us.
Businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-536-4436.
Let me get right back to you. Sandra, those banners come out tonight. Can you pack them?
Indeed. And those unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
On machine 4?
Like at Monica's print shop. To fulfill orders on time, she needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hey, we're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We're conversing with Derek Hawley, the president of Reaching America, a nonprofit group that he founded, addresses issues affecting the black community such as criminal justice reform, occupational licensing, energy poverty, and free speech. Oh, that free speech kind of thing. He's also a Project 21 member. Derek, you grew up, as you said, or maybe in your business years, I may have misunderstood, but you spent a lot of time in D.C. And right now, of course, the talk of the day is making D.C. a state. What's your position on that, by the way?
Ooh.
Am I opening up a hot one? Sorry.
That's been a hot topic. In Washington, D.C., for as long as I've been here. I've been up here about 30 years now, and they've had marches here. And I tell you, I've been there, and, you know, there's different theories and things that go on in D.C. Like, one example is they talk about how where Homeland Security, the new Homeland Security building, is located. And people say that that building was designed and put purposely outside of the line so that D.C. could never be a state. You know, just because it would still have to be part of the District of Columbia. But anyway, I'm against it for a lot of different reasons, obviously. But the fight right now seems like it is it's the strongest it's ever been over the years. And I would say that because of the left having so much control right now of the House, the Senate, and the White House. So it's going to get looked at, but I don't believe it will get passed.
Yeah, the tough thing with anything that's political and that becomes political advantageous, whether you're stacking the court, bringing in new states and that sort of thing, I don't see how that serves the principles of our Constitution and we the people. That's my fundamental problem with it. If the argument is, hey, look, we need to make D.C. a state because of all these great positive things that would happen on behalf of not only the citizens within the jurisdiction of Washington, D.C., but also they're going to serve the other, you know, 50 states accordingly and be able to contribute, you know, accordingly, then I think we can have a conversation. But when it's all about, hey, let's stack the court so we can have political advantage, let's make D.C. A state and Puerto Rico a state so that we can have political advantage, it just doesn't sit well with me. Because it starts pitting us, you know, against one another. It doesn't unify us. It just says, wait a minute, you're stacking the deck and you want political advantage here, and I don't see any other you know, good reason to do it other than political advantage. Is that fair?
That is fair. And Bill, the thing about it is when they laid out D.C., they broke it up and it was divided from Maryland, D.C. to the land. And so even now, the way if you look at how D.C. is divided with the Beltway going around it, would be very, very difficult to say, okay, which part is going back to Maryland, which part is going to Virginia, and which part
exactly.
And so we haven't even gotten to those kind of issues. Right now, it's just political. Oh, my God, we just want to move. It's about their agenda with the whole, even just having this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I know the heat's up a little bit, so I'll back off on it. But it's, you know, I wanted to ask you, you know, here you are, and you could give us a ground floor perspective on it. So I appreciate your honesty about this, because like I said, hey, if it's win-win for everybody, I'm in. But I'm not hearing that argument. I'm hearing a political argument, and I'm not real comfortable with that, to be honest with you. So
and it goes away and it comes back and it goes away and it comes back. Like that's been 30 years now, and this right now is the hottest it's been in years.
Right. Well, because this is something's going to bust loose here with everything, all the tinder and this thing, you know, coming together, and we're lining this up like a big bonfire. I mean, we got Minnesota with Derek Chauvin. We've got, you know, the recent incident that happened there, confusing a taser for a gun. And I mean, all this stuff that's going on and Black Lives Matter and, you know, the D.C. movement and sort of thing and, you know, Democratic policies that are just wiping out these blue states. And it doesn't matter. It's just all this emotion. And as we were talking about earlier, Derek, the thing that's frustrating is that, you know, you and I are common sense guys. I mean, let's talk about common sense. Let's talk about moving the ball forward that is win-win for everybody. Hey, I'm there. I'll go through cement walls with you. And I will, you know, I'll tiptoe through the tulips of landmines with you if that's what it takes. But, you know, just to do stuff for the sake of, you know, political advantage, I mean, we've already gone through it. I mean, after this last, you know, political battle that we went through, culminating on January the 6th, it was like, you know, I asked people, I said, hey, how's that politics thing working for you now, you know?
Man, that was tough to watch, you know, because I was downtown. I was actually at work at DOT when that took place. I was pulling for the president because I was in that role, the executive service role. And but to see that unfold and to be able to, like, look out my window, because right next door was a director of security for the Department of Transportation, so he was getting briefings and getting updates by the minute.
So
I'm in his office looking at it. He said, well, Derek, there's a building right there that the snipers is on. So now I'm looking at the building, at the TV, back at the building. I'm like, well, oh, my God, this is really happening. And it just made my stomach hurt.
Yeah. Could you imagine if the snipers started firing? Of all things, we have a shot inside the building, which to this day we still can't figure out why or who. And any kind of consideration here against that police officer, but you've got a person who is in the building, and I mean, look at they were knocking down windows, that sort of thing. But still, you know, the process there, and I would say, Derek, if had it been a black person and not a white woman, it'd have been a different story altogether. But thank God, you know, even though there were snipers up there, that it didn't get any more out of hand than it did. And but still, I think the big takeaway and the big question remains. It's almost like COVID. It's like, what do we know? What was it all about? You know, what actually, you know, what? How can we come away from that experience and not throw the baby out with the bathwater and be able to say, hey, look, you know, we had people that were upset for legitimate reasons here. And right now they may have gone away and still quietly, you know, behind closed doors want to talk about what they feel was a discrepancy in the 2016 election or 2020 election. And, you know, that's going to come back. It always does, you know, just like these other issues of racism that we've been dealing with, because we've never really solved the problem. And I'm sure if we can ever eventually solve the problem, Derek, because the problem of systemic racism is in the hearts of man. I mean, that I can't change your heart. You have to want to change your heart. And that's a God thing. That's between you and God. And I can't legislate. I can't come up with enough laws to force you to change your heart.
I agree. But the thing about it is these same individuals, the left, liberals, they're trying to take everything that even if you start talking about God, you get joked on. You know, it's a joke to them now. And, you know, when they started removing it from schools, to me, we're going backwards. And I've said this before. It's as if we've lost our moral compass.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did. There's no doubt. Exactly.
When you just look at some of the things that are just taking place right now, it's just hard to fathom that this is where we are.
And the thing is, Derek, it's the next generation coming up. It's our grandkids, it's our kids, our grandkids, our great grandkids that we're handing this confusion, this ball of confusion over and say, hey, you know, we couldn't solve it, so now it's yours. But I think a little bit, and what I've sensed is that, you know, we were raised by the greatest generation. And I believe, I really do believe this, Derek, is that we're starting, you know, all us boomers, we're starting to realize that, like our parents, we need to stand up for those things that are right and good and noble, those things that we can pass on to the next generation, and that our legacy has not been, we're not finished yet. Our legacy is still being written, and I think we're going to have an opportunity to stand up in much the same way, which, let me get to the topic here that we're supposed to talk about, you know, like with Coca-Cola, realizing the era of their ways. And I, when I say that, I mean in terms of getting involved in things that is out of their lane. You know, we don't want college, you know, I don't want a Republican type of Coca-Cola or Diet Coke. I just want a Coke. You know, I just want a Diet Coke. You know, I don't want to think that in terms of politics, like Michael Jordan so brilliantly said long ago when they tried to drag him into politics. I mean, this is the wisest thing ever, that everybody, I don't care what color your skin is. He said, hey, look it, you know, even Republicans buy tennis shoes. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Here we are. It's like we have things in common that can advance the cause for all of us. And those are the things that we should put our shoulders to, that we should put our passions behind. All this other stuff that separates us and has us at each other's throats. You know, at that point, it's for somebody else's gain, not the gain of the common good. That's the way I see it. How about you? We got about 40 seconds left.
I agree with you, Bill. And I just think everybody just needs to take a breath, breathe.
Yes.
And get all the facts straight before they jump into all these conclusions like Coca-Cola did at Major League Baseball.
Exactly. And, of course, we're getting ready to hear a verdict from the Chauvin case. And, you know, expectations are being fueled in such a way that, you know, we can only pray that common sense could come into play here, Derek. I'm only hoping and praying that would be the case. He's the president of Reaching America, member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. Derek Hawley has been with us. Derek, look forward to having you back. Take care.
Thank you.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home.